You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What a world! Welcome all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blogging, theboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from right here is your humble host, Don of The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, February 2nd, 2022. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, and yes, I think it's cool that today's date is 2/2/22. Also, I want to remind you that The Ocho is presented to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, the jerky that helps fuel your Dallas Cowboys. That is correct. Righteous Felon Jerky and Biltong are available for Cowboys players at the Ford Center Training Facility. Each 2-ounce bag, 2-ounce bag of jerky has 16 to 20 grams of protein, Biltong 32, and each meat stick appropriately has Ocho grams of protein. If it's good enough for the Cowboys, it has got to be good enough for you as well. Righteous Felon uses locally sourced all-natural black Angus beef and prides itself on superior quality, revolutionary branding, and unique flavors that go beyond the stereotypical jerky offering. Go to righteousfelon.com and use discount code BTB15 at checkout to get 15% off of your order. That is righteousfelon.com, discount code BTB15 at checkout to get 15% off of your order. I'm recording this on Wednesday, February 1st, so not 2/2/22. And it is 3:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. Manchester United is about to advance in the Carabao Cup. One of my teams is going to get a trophy here in 2022 or 2000. Did I say that? I messed all that up, actually. Oh my gosh. I'm just not realizing that I messed the date up. You know what I could do as I say this out loud? I could go back and re-record the beginning, but I'm not going to do that because I'm authentic, all right? I messed up the date. It's still super early in the year, all right? I'm a month in, so excuse me for thinking it was 2/2/22. It's 2/2/23. So one of my teams is going to get a trophy, at least in 2023, it seems, with Manchester United. The Houston Astros, of course, obviously going to repeat as World Series champions. Perhaps the Dallas Cowboys will join them, but if they do win the Super Bowl next season, that will, of course, come in the calendar year of 2024. Maybe I'll get it right a year from now. How are the Cowboys going to get to that point? Obviously, we have a long way to go throughout the entire offseason. We have a lot of things to figure out. They have a lot of things to figure out. I discussed some of these things today with our very special guest, Keith McPherson. Keith is awesome. Keith is such a great follow on Twitter at Keith_McPherson. And I mentioned this to him and you'll hear him talk about it. He has a billion different jobs. I mean, he's on WFAN. He's on MLB Network. He loves the Dallas Cowboys. That is going to be very obvious. We're going to throw this conversation up on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel. Actually, that'll go up on Friday, but you can see in his command center that he is all Cowboys out. So let's go ahead and get to it. Keith and I, we talked about the offseason as a whole, concerns we have. As my son cries in the background, he is obviously upset. You know, he's over one, so he's experienced two Dallas Cowboys seasons, and you know, they've been to the playoffs both times. So I want to tell him, like, hey son, you know, I know they haven't won the Super Bowl, but it could be a lot worse. All right, let's go ahead and get to the conversation. Keith McPherson from everywhere all over the world joins us next right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now here at Blogging the Boys by the one, the only, the legendary, the incomparable, internationally famous. I don't even know how to properly describe how many jobs he has because it feels like there's way too many of them. Keith McPherson, thank you so much. We were talking about Michael Jordan before we started recording. This is your flu game. We don't have to get too much into it, but kind of your flu game, so to speak. Welcome to Blogging the Boys. And yeah, like maybe you can tell us all of your jobs because I feel like there are way too many to keep track of.
RJ, thanks for having me. I'm glad I could make it. Yeah, so I'm just getting over food poisoning. I was on air on WFAN in New York City Monday night, and at like 12:30, I'm on air. Like, I'm not feeling well, folks. I got to step out. I step out. I come back in, and I got to end my show. I just knew I had to get home, and I went through it Tuesday night from about 1 a.m. to about 7 or 8 in the morning, and then I slept all day yesterday, and you and I had already planned this, and I was so excited about getting a chance to come on Blogging the Boys and actually get to talk to you, being a lifelong Cowboys fan and someone who's followed you and your content. I didn't want to switch that date, and I was literally hoping I was good, like hoping I was fine, and I'm fine now. Still haven't ate that much, still trying to get my liquids in. But yeah, I do a few different things, and I'm blessed. Like, I'm just a wild sports fan. I played every sport growing up, and I went to college for radio and television communication. And it took a while, took about 11 years for it to all really hit. But, you know, you just mentioned MLB Network. You're wearing the wrong hat, but the right hat for this show. And I do the show called Off Base, which is a new show that MLB Network took a chance on last season. We're hoping it comes back for season two. It's just, you know, a younger approach to talking about baseball. I already mentioned that I host on WFAN at nights, the legendary WFAN. Mike Francesa is on First Take right now. Mike and the Mad Dog reunion. People might know the 30 for 30 with Mike and the Mad Dog. WFAN is the first 24-hour sports radio station, and it started right in New York City. And there's hundreds of thousands of people that tune into that, not just through the radio, but through the Odyssey app. And I know there's the Fan, I think it's 103.5 in Dallas. And
you're close, you know, 105.3. It's the home of the Cowboys. They're good friends of ours. I just, you know, don't want to, you know.
No, I don't want to mess them up, but I wanted to give them a shout out too. Like, you know, what they do is similar to what we do here in New York. I also have been in the podcast game for years now. I've done 3 different Yankees podcasts. I have 1 podcast for the Brooklyn Nets called Talking Nets. And never really got anybody to do any type of Cowboy stuff with me. I live literally in Giants Jets land. I live 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium. And I've grown up with Giants fans and Jets fans. And even now on the radio, I get heckled all the time online and on air. Stop talking about the Cowboys. Nobody cares about the Cowboys. But they know that's not true. There are Cowboys fans all across the globe. And we get Cowboys fans to call in and talk to me almost every single night. So, yep, that's
awesome,
much it.
Dude. I really hope you guys come back for season 2. First of all, selfishly, you, Hannah, the whole crew. Like, it's a really great, like, I mean, everything is awesome. And again, like, I am, you know, listening to you kind of talk about your career, I think about something, and I feel this way sometimes, that my dad told me a long time ago, you know, because sometimes it does take time. And he said, you know, son, at some point you're going to be so busy and you're going to say, like, man, if I had just had a fraction of this, like way back when, like that fraction would have been so much for me at the time. And it kind of sounds like that's your daily life, like with every podcast and moving here. That, like, I've never been to New York, actually. Like, you know, and I kind of feel like when I do, like, it'll be a little bit overrated, like, oh, Statue of Liberty, whatever. Like, you know, so I don't know if you're like taking subways or taxi cabs or whatever the case may be, but like, I'm sure you're always hustling and bustling and you've got a lot of like extra battery packs to charge your phone.
Yeah, that's hilarious. New York is insane. I drive everywhere. The pandemic did that to me. I stopped taking the train once COVID hit. This was ground zero for COVID, and it was a horror movie to see some of the stuff that went on. Like, homeless people took over the subway. But Statue of Liberty is actually in Jersey City, and they never say that. Whatever. I live in Jersey City, right across the Hudson River. And I've been to the Statue of Liberty a bunch of times. It is overrated. I mean, if you're a history buff, go there. But like, once you actually go there, you're not going to be, you're just going to look up when you finally get to see it. And then you're going to want to leave. And the only way to get there is by ferry. You can't drive there and you've got to wait. And there's going to be like 200 people trying to get on the ferry. You probably will miss the ferry you're waiting on. But yeah, New York is wild. And what I will say is that, like, I say I'm blessed. I'm blessed because it was quiet for me. I was unemployed. And I took the road less traveled. I was doing social media work. I told you I worked at Fubo TV. We were just talking about watching sports on Fubo TV. I think it is the greatest over-the-top streaming platform for sports fans because you can watch everything in one app. I mean, they're still working on getting TNT. I don't know if they're going to get TNT. They're holding out.
Look,
but they have everything else.
I can figure it out. I can figure it out for March Madness. I can get, you know, I can figure it out. I'm fine. Like,
PBS,
you know,
and True TV.
I'm okay with it. It's a fine trade-off for everything I get year-round for me to have to get a little bit creative. It is tough for the MLB playoffs, like the initial games that are on TBS. Like, that's the only part that is a little bit different.
The money in all of that is where we're at right now. And I just told you about the streaming and going from cable to streaming services. And there's just bidding wars on everything. But yeah, with me, I was in the city. I worked at MTV. I worked at Fubo TV. I worked at Roc Nation Sports Agency. And it just got to the point where it wasn't fulfilling enough. And I saw people emerging in the YouTube space and in the podcast space. And I'm like, that's me. That's where I belong. And I learned how to do all the back end stuff, all the social media, the video editing, scheduling. And I just jumped out of the window. I tell people, I literally quit my job at Jay-Z Sports Agency in the middle of Manhattan. Nothing lined up. I collected unemployment for a little while, but I bought a new camera. I bought a new MacBook and I started creating content and putting myself out there. And not before long, people started to recognize who I was and what I could do. And I'm blessed to say it worked. And I'm on radio and TV in the greatest city in the world.
That's sick, dude. Congrats on everything. I mean, again, I'm a big fan. You and I got connected somewhat recently on Twitter. And I was just like, you're so busy. Like, I was like, how did I not follow Keith? I don't think I follow Hannah on Twitter either. And that's a big problem. Like,
Hannah doesn't really like Twitter because she gets criticized all the time. But. You know, dude, I think I was following you on Instagram and I wasn't following you on Twitter. So that was easy. That was a quick follow. But I've just known of you and what you do with the Cowboys, being a Cowboys fan. I feel like if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan looking for content, you're like the top guy, if not like one of the best guys covering it. Like,
you're the man.
I feel like, I'm not trying to, trust me, this is our first time talking. I'm not trying to like butter you up because I'm on your show. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan, I'm a Cowboys fan in New Jersey, New York City, looking for people that actually cover the team day in and day out, and you're the guy.
Keith, you're the man. I appreciate it. Let's talk some Cowboys. So I tweeted before you came on, the night before, not knowing you were battling food poisoning at the time, obviously. So I inundated your mentions, and you said you didn't look, so kudos to you. Maybe you pulled a Hannah, I guess, and just like ignored Twitter. I tweeted, you know, asking people what their number one concern is heading into the offseason. This is a weird week. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's the 1st of February, and the Cowboys are having to deal with, obviously, the Eagles being in the Super Bowl, whatever, that's stupid, blah, 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 they might win it. Cowboys moved on from Kellen Moore, now the new offensive coordinator of the Chargers. They might, this episode's going out on Thursday, I hadn't told you that, so it's possible that they name a new offensive coordinator entitled before then, or before this goes out, but Mike McCarthy is slated to call plays. Your thoughts on where the Cowboys are at? You were so excited, and I was interacting with you on Instagram from the BTB account the day of the 49ers playoff game. You were all pumped. You're like, what jerseys are we wearing? Like, I got to get going. I got to get in my battle armor. And then it was such a deflating loss. I think we all kind of lulled ourselves into thinking this team was just like, this was going to be the one. This was going to be the team that broke through, went to the title game, beat Philly. We're going to get the rubber match between Dak and Hurts and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it just really kind of left us all feeling flat.
We had the revenge script lined up, man. We had it lined up. We knock off Tom Brady, which congratulations, everyone. The last team to defeat the greatest football player of all time, depending on who you ask. It's the Dallas Cowboys, right? He doesn't retire undefeated against Dallas. We got one. So at least we can celebrate that. But we had the revenge script lined up, right? You know, go knock off the Niners who beat us in Jerry World last year. And then we would get to face the Philadelphia Eagles who we beat this year. And they beat us, but it was with backup quarterbacks. And after watching that game against the 49ers, the Cowboys would have played a much better game and probably could have beat them. Because we could do a whole podcast on what I think about this Eagles team. But I looked at this I looked at this tournament as, wow, if there ever was a time for the Cowboys to get there, it would, like, looking at the NFC, old man Tom Brady, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Jalen Hurts, who, in my opinion, is not much of a thrower. He misses open guys. They run zone read with him like this is college football. Like, I'm looking at Dak as a 7-year veteran. I'm looking at some of the guys on our defense, and I'm like, defense wins championships. Micah Parsons talking about going to the bowl. I always wear my 11 Micah Parsons. I think he's the best defensive player in the league. I thought this was the year. I was so excited. And then to watch the Cowboys in that game where all you had to do was score 20 points. Come on. This is an offense that's put up 30 every game, right? One of the highest scoring offenses in the league. And we couldn't figure out how to get 20. We couldn't figure out how to get 20 points. Well, everything went against us. You know, Tony Pollard getting hurt like that, it hurt that day, and it hurts going into next year. Ezekiel Elliott as many touchdowns as he had in the red zone, he just wasn't going to be a weapon in that game. He's cooked. Like, he's past his prime. They didn't want to go to Malik Davis in that spot at all, I guess. And with Dak, the dreaded two-interception game that we've seen all year rears its ugly head, and you can't win those games, not against the Niners defense. You can't win those games turning the ball over and missing opportunities. So for me, going into this next year, there's a few problems, and they're with the offense. Dan Quinn coming back is the biggest, like, I know there's going to be changes, but Dan Quinn could have went and taken probably the Colts job or some other job. He's been a head coach before. He probably will be again. Him staying with this defense is going to get healthier. This defense is going to draft and add pieces, maybe even pick up a free agent or something. But the offense is the issue completely and totally, right? Your five-year offensive coordinator is out, which I'm not mad about. But now the word is that Mike McCarthy is going to call plays. We have a running back problem. Mel Kiper's suggesting we take Robinson out of Texas. I don't know if we want to do that. And then we got to fix Dak. And I don't think Dak is broken. But when I, watch Dak check plays all the time, and, I think they're like him and Kellen Moore aren't always on the same page of what Kellen Moore wants him to be and what he is or what he wants to be. I feel like he checked a lot of plays to get the team into the right play. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But, Dak is the one throwing the ball. Ultimately, at the end of the day, those turnovers are on him. He forced a lot of passes this year, and he led the league in interceptions. And I know people are going to say, well, what about Josh Allen? And no one is saying, what about Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow had two interceptions in the AFC Championship. All the Cincy fans still love him. I still have love for Dak, and I hope that this is a part of his story, right? More like the struggles. And, you saw it with Jordan. And Jordan, he lost to the Pistons. And, you got to lose to know how to win. Like, sometimes you just got to take some of these tough losses. And I think Dak obviously has a few more years, definitely with the Cowboys, and I think he can overcome it. But the main concern is who's going to be calling the plays and how are we going to surround Dak with talent? Similar to how, like, Jalen Hurts to me isn't the greatest thrower of the ball. He's a good leader. He can run the ball. He can run their offense. But they have studs around him across the offensive line, at the receiver position, and, of course, all over their defense.
Yeah, I mean – so if I took, like, all of the things I felt confident in the Cowboys, like that Sunday morning, that Sunday that they played San Francisco, Micah would have been one of them. The defense would have been one of them. Dan Quinn, right? Like, I don't even just mean positive things. Like, I mean, I guess what would be perceived as negative things, like the fact that Zeke is not he's not an explosive player. Like, that was an idea I was confident in, right? Of all the ideas I was confident in, the one that kind of failed me was Dak, right? Like, that morning I would have said, like, especially coming off, you mentioned Tom Brady, like the game that Monday night, it was like his finest hour. That was such a validating night, I think, to be a Cowboys fan who believed in Dak Prescott, right? It was like, I told you moment, like, all you losers and idiots who doubted and didn't think that Dak could do this, like, look what he just did. And, like, of course, the, like, narrative flip from, like, I don't know, man, I would never count out Tom Brady, to, like, oh, dude, they were below 500, whatever. So, like, the hardest, I think, reality to reckon with is Dak, right? Like, I think it's maybe not universally, but for the most part, like, agreed by everybody that, like, they have to figure out the running back issue. And Tony Pollard's injury is a really unfortunate thing, whether or not they do want to tag him or pay him, whether they do want to, move on. I think, there are a lot of people who are like, yeah, if Zeke wants to come back, they want to restructure. I hate to say this, like, I hate to root for people to lose their jobs, but it's like, a reset wouldn't be a bad thing here. Like, let's just kind of, refresh the whole room, so to speak. But the hardest truth to reckon with is Dak. Like, I believe in him. Totally with you. Like, top 10 quarterback easily. I'm not going to sit here and quibble with people. Like, if you think whoever is better, blah, blah, blah. Like, he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. He's going to turn 30 this year. I mean, that's still incredibly young. But he failed. I mean, like, that, like, I can't look past that. And I agree with you. Josh Allen failed. Joe Burrow failed. And I'm so jealous of those fan bases because they do rally around their guy. I mean, like, Cowboys fans seem to be the only fan base that sort of, like, hates their players, right? Like, there are dudes who they love, like Mike or whatever. But it's frustrating to have the battles with Cowboys fans and, like, opposing fans. But there's nowhere to run, right? Like, there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to kind of blame anybody else. Like, we've, I would say, been able to. Like, I'm not somebody who's tried to make excuses for Dak in the past, but, like, this is all on him. Like, he is center stage for the failure that we saw in San Francisco. And yeah, you can say, like, the season was successful and he missed the five games and they still managed to get there and they won a playoff game, road win, and the Navy jerseys, blah, blah, blah. But this is maybe the most difficult offseason he's going to face. I mean, as far as like expectations are concerned, is that fair in your mind?
It is, because, you know, even himself, post game, he says this will never happen again. I can't take your word for that. I watched this, you know, blow games to the Jaguars, to the Packers this year, and there were games where you have multiple interceptions. I watched you force passes, and, you know, maybe some of that is because you felt like you only had CD or Dalton Schultz, and you tried to get them the ball, or maybe it was because sometimes you were choosing to go to, like, there's one that sticks out. It was Fuller versus Noah Brown in that Commanders game, where he goes to the backside of the play, and it's Noah Brown versus Fuller, who was captain of their defense, one of the best corners. And you go to Noah Brown, and it turns into a pick six. And it's like, why? What was that? Who said to do that? That's on Dak. That's on Dak, bro. Like, so Dak's got to be better. And I know he knows he has to be better. And for the Cowboys fans that are upset about it, be upset at Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, that's Jerry Jones's guy. He defaulted into this. He ended up paying Dak what he's paying him. He's a $40 million quarterback. There's no excuses for a $40 million quarterback. Sure. You're paid to be the best. Now, there are games where, like that Eagles game where, you know, it's always a tale of two Daks. He threw that stupid interception to, I think, Josh Sweat, who was, yeah, like, coming on off the edge. But then he came back, and he was, like, lights out. I think I read something on the Star coverage that he was like 24 for 24 against zone defense. So clearly the guy can read a defense. I'm here in New York where all they do is cry about Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson cannot read a defense. Zach Wilson could not read a junior varsity defense. At least we know that, like, Dak knows what he's doing. So I think this year there's a huge opportunity for Dak to get in a room with Mike McCarthy, who we learned he's got a good relationship with, that they've spent time together. They've right. got to get in the room a lot. And they've got to talk about what Dak likes to do, what he wants to do, and what Mike McCarthy likes to do. And they've got to figure out some things. And then they got to put the talent around him, right? I think they failed him. Financially, a lot of the decisions that Jerry Jones made failed him. We can start with trading a number one pick for Amari Cooper and then deciding you want to move on from Amari Cooper. Didn't you say you got Amari Cooper to find out if Dak was worth paying, right? When Dak was throwing the Bryce Butler and Cole Beasley, like, didn't you bring in Amari Cooper to get him a true one? Amari Cooper's not done, and you could see that by what he did with Jacoby Brissett. And if next year him and Deshaun Watson get going, Amari Cooper can emerge as one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL again. I understand I want to pay him, but you defaulted into saying, okay, CD, you're the number one guy. Michael Gallup coming off an injury, when you're back, you're in there. And then Noah Brown, who, like, is not really like a game changer at all. He's a good enough receiver. He made enough plays, but that's not good enough to take you where Jerry Jones is clearly trying to go, Super Bowl. And Jerry Jones is getting up there in age, so I don't know what else he's waiting for. They got to get some more talent on the offensive side.
My dog's barking in the background. I make this joke all the time. When he barks, his name is Bear. So he's like upset as a Cowboys fan and a Bears fan, right? Like, that's kind of his two team. So
the Bears are in good shape. The Bears got a number one overall pick and a lot of cap space.
He's pumped. That's why he's chirping right now. But so I agree with you. And like, something we say a lot around here is that multiple things could be true. So like, we could sit here, we can put the appropriate amount of responsibility and blame on Dak Prescott's shoulders, but it can be true that Dak failed and that the team failed around him. And I don't know why it took me so long to come to this realization. And I tweeted this recently. So their whole thought process, right, was like, well, CD can replace the production that Amari Cooper gave us. They were right. Like, give them their credit, right? Like, I'm totally, you know, here to give the Cowboys their credit. What they did not replace was what CD gave them in addition to Amari, right? Like, the combination of Amari and CD Lamb in 2021, they did not get that from their top flight duo in 2022. And in fact, I would argue that 2022 CD Lamb was a better receiver than 2021 Amari Cooper, right? Like, so fine. You want to sit here and say that CD is better than Amari? Cool. Great. Hang the banner. But you did not supplement that. That was the issue. I mean, like, you cannot, and it sounds like so rude to be like, you can't rely on Noah Brown, but you can't. Like, you're talking about this dude so deep in his career. You know, he's a great special teams player. Cool. You like him and stuff like that. But like, you need explosive guys. I mean, the Eagles already had Devontae Smith, to your point, and traded for AJ Brown, right? Like, I mean, the Bengals have T. Higgins to pair with Ja'Marr Chase. I think, you know, and people have kind of started to make this comparison. Like, the Bills really are like the Cowboys of the AFC. It's Stephon Diggs and then literally Cole Beasley, right? Like, so, you know, to your point, Bryce Butler's in the content game too. So he's got a great YouTube channel that you should check out. If you're
shout out to Bryce Butler. I was just kind of like, spitballing. Like, I don't know who was the
right.
I don't remember all the receivers from, I don't know what year that was, 2015 or 16, something like that. Well,
the rough year was the Allen Hurns year when they had Hurns and Deontay Thompson and Tavon Austin. Like, that was the really dark time. But so, yeah, like, they were so, like, tunnel vision focused on, okay, CD will replace Amari. It'll be like Indiana Jones swapping out one idol for the other. That's great, but you didn't, like, there are 10 other dudes on offense. Like, Dak is one of them. And granted, you did kind of replace, you know, whatever you thought Zeke was with Tony Pollard, but that was where they failed. And I mentioned that I tweeted, you know, and asking people for what their number one concern is. And a lot of responses were that the front office is not going to be aggressive this offseason. And you and I were tweeting about this. There are some Cowboys fans that are like, I hope the Eagles win the Super Bowl so that it proves to the Cowboys they have to not miss me. Like, I don't want that in any way, shape, or form. But do you think at this point it would just be hope? Because there's no evidence to support this claim. Do you? Can you envision a world where the Cowboys do kind of wake up and say, look, the Brandon Carr deal was 11 years ago. Let's move on. Like, we can finally pay some dudes in free agency. Or do you think we're going to get the same run-of-the-mill, you know, patient, we like our guys approach? It should be mentioned, they were the last team in the NFL last offseason to sign an external free agent. They were the last one. And the guy they signed was James Washington, who didn't even make it through the whole season for them.
What a joke, man. James Washington, he ends up over here with the Giants. I don't know if he does anything for them in the future. The kid Tolbert they drafted, as if he was going to be a factor, non-factor. Where's Odell Beckham Jr.? I got to hit Odell and tell him, hey, man, I know the Giants made a little bit of a run, but come to Dallas. That guy has torched the Cowboys every time he's played in Jerry World.
Are you
they should go
that?
Get Odell, like, Beckham Jr.
Do you really want that? Like, I mean, if you're being for real, do you want them to sign Odell? Or do you think and view that as, like, whatever the circus or you think is associated with? Because that is,
he's healthy.
We're a few weeks away from that being a big talking point.
If he's healthy, I think he's motivated. I think he's determined. I mean, the Cowboys picked up T.Y. Hilton, and T.Y. Hilton was productive. And I don't know where he came from. I was not even thinking about T.Y. Hilton as far as whether he was in the league, out of the league. And he comes in and he makes an impact. So that just right there showed you. Like, if you have T.Y. Hilton is a proven NFL explosive wide receiver, and he's past his prime, still making an impact. Odell, if he wants to put that star on his helmet, do it. But honestly, I've made this comparison, and it sucks for me as a fan of both, right? The New York Yankees being this prestigious 27-time champion and being able to live off of their past championships, but it's been 13 years since they went back to the World Series. The Cowboys have doubled that time frame since they've been back to a Super Bowl, but there's a lot of parallels. They live off of their past. They live off of their history. And now they've taken a new approach where they don't spend. In those years where they were winning, they spent money. They knew you have to go get the guys that make a difference, and those guys cost. You know, you have to go spend that money. And I think that instead of Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones penny pitching, or like, I don't care about Randy Gregory, but when it came out that Randy Gregory wasn't signed, it was something like, you know, some money on the back end of the deal that they didn't want to give him, so he went elsewhere. You're not going to win like that. You've been this close, right? You just put together back-to-back 12-win seasons. I said it sucks for Cowboys fans. There are so many Cowboys fans, and we have fun on Sundays during a regular season. But then there's this impending doom that's headed our way in the playoffs. You know who can change that? One or two game breakers can literally make a game. One or two guys on offense can literally take a 5-yard pass to the house and change a game. You need those guys. You were lucky that CeeDee Lamb fell into your lap in the draft. You know, you're lucky that Dak Prescott became what he became after being a 4th-round pick. Go out and get the proven commodities, the guys that are first-round picks that are no doubters that can literally change the game.
I think, to your point, and I don't want to say like everything they did was luck. Like, I think, you know, some Cowboys fans have returned to, like, you know, Chicken Little sky is falling. The front office is stupid. Nothing they do is right. Like, I'm not quite there. I think they deserve their flowers for a lot of things. They believed in Tyler Smith when I certainly didn't, right? They believed in Sam Williams. And the Sam Williams thing to me seemed like Dan Quinn just trying to, like, manifest it, right? Like, well, he reminds me of Micah Parsons. And, like, Well, lo and behold, holy crap. Well done, Dan Quinn. You were right. So, like, I'll give them their props on a lot of things. But they were really lucky that Leighton Vander Esch kind of turned his career around, right? Like, that wasn't necessarily expected. They were really lucky that Anthony Barr was able to supplement the loss that they had with Leighton to some degree. They were really lucky that Kevontae Turpin was kind of a nice thing on special teams, although granted, you know, had his issues too. They were really lucky that Cooper Rush was able to help them, you know, survive after that. That's a position they haven't taken seriously in forever. And I give them credit for, like, you know, adjusting to that. But I mean, Cooper Rush made his first start in the NFL in his sixth season as an undrafted free agent. Like, that's not the path. You know, just because it
was
just
to
because
watch you, Ben DiNucci, bro. Ben DiNucci went to my school. I played quarterback in New Jersey. I went to James Madison University out of high school. I would never have had a shot to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Ben DiNucci did.
They hit the lotto. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because, like, it worked with Cooper Rush does not mean, like, that is the path that you should pursue and, like, you know, rely on that moving forward. Like, even Dak, like, oh, we'll just, like, stumble into a quarterback, you know? So they got really lucky in a lot of ways. And so I worried about this last year coming off of the 21 season, that they were going to look at, you know, the low level free agent signings like Jayron Kearse, like Carlos Watkins and all these, you know, other 1 year deals, and that they were going to double down on that because it worked for them. And they did. And it worked out again. Like, kudos to you. You were right on. I didn't believe in Jayron Kearse, and I'm super happy to be wrong in that sense. But you do, like, you brought up the Yankees. I'm going to bring up the Astros because I want to, but also because I think it's relevant. So at the trade deadline, they traded for Trey Mancini and, you know, Christian Vasquez. And, like, those weren't, like, you know, like massive swings or things that really, but you know what? Trey Mancini had that critical out in the eighth inning in game five. Like, it was totally worth it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as an Astros fan, like, totally worth it for that. And he was terrible offensively throughout the World Series and really the entire postseason. But for that one out, for that one moment when Yuli got hurt and they needed something, like, that was not predictable, right? Like, the Cowboys, it feels like, would be like, oh, Yuli's fine. Like, he's always going to be there. Like, he's just going to play for a space. Like, we don't need to, like, have an emergency or contingency plan. But the Astros went out and got somebody who was able to handle that. And same thing with Christian Vasquez. Like, Martin Maldonado is a great, like, kind of Astro and, like, you know, blends with the culture and everybody likes him, whatever. But they hedged their bet and it worked out. Like, Christian Vasquez called a no-hitter in the World Series. You know what I mean? Like those are the things that, like, you have to say, like, yeah, just because, like, this is good. Like, wide receiver two, we have Michael Gallup. Yeah, there's a nice kind of thing going on there. Double down, triple down, like, add, like, more. And that, it feels like that's where they lack aggression.
If you want to win, you have to always be going for it.
Right.
Hedge your bets. If you think you're good, think that you can be better than good. Right. And I understand exactly what you're saying with the Astros analogy. They're always going for it. Add a Michael Brantley. They added Justin Verlander when Justin Verlander, Yankees fans were saying the Yankees should have went and got him. Right. Like, they develop their young talent. You got to do that. And then you also got to bring in free agents and you also got to be going for it at the deadline. And the Astros consistently do that. That is how you ensure that you'll be there at the end of the race. That's how you ensure that you can win a championship. You never know what situations might come up, and you're prepared. You have insurance for those type of things. The Cowboys need to have more insurance going forward.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So of all the answers that I got, again, what is your main concern? These were the you know, this is what I asked Twitter. A lot of responses, Dak sucks, blah, 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 Dak, whatever. So, like, again, we're all we're all on the same page. Like, Dak has to be better. But, like, you cannot just, like, say, oh, Dak's got to be better. Like, poof. That's the solution to 2023. If Dak is better, you know, they put up 20 points in San Francisco. No. And I used to say this for years. The Cowboys built their 2015 team when they drafted Byron Jones and Randy Gregory and signed Lyle Collins. They built that team like they were going to be able to pick up where Dez caught it at Lambeau. Like, you can't. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't. Like, even the Astros. Like, the Astros can't just rest on their laurels and say, like, oh, we'll just win the World Series again. No. Like, you mentioned the word race. You have to start from the, like, starting line again. You don't get to start at the third mile or the 10th mile. Like, yeah, you have to climb. Yeah, you have to climb the whole mountain again. And that was where I thought the 2015 Cowboys erred. And so I think it would be a mistake to say, well, okay, Dak has to be better. Like, that's the solution. Because you know what might happen? And this is a concern of mine. You mentioned Micah. I love Micah Parsons. Although, like, miss me a little bit, Micah, with this, like, rooting for Lane Johnson thing. Like, you're allowed to do what you want to do, Micah, but, you know,
Micah needs to do less Twitter and less social media. That's honestly what Micah needs to do. Your play speaks enough for you, bro. We don't need all the Twittering.
He's reaching that point in, like, Cowboy superstardom. Like, every Cowboy superstar eventually kind of, like, regresses from social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's, you know, yeah, he's a little bit seasoned now. So whatever. It's funny.
Always get twisted. What was it? Didn't he say something about like a military
I know what you're talking about. But when
Brittany Griner. When Brittany Griner came back, he spoke on that. You don't have to speak out publicly on that and say, oh, well, you know, we left the military member behind. Micah, just don't tweet. Like, say less, bro. Like,
even
that's
the
my advice is say less.
Like, even the non-political things, because obviously that's a subject that a lot of people had opinions on. He tweeted ahead of the conference championship games. Like, if you just talk about the football things, he tweeted, well, every quarterback playing is on a rookie contract. And so, like, that becomes like, well, what are you trying to say?
Dak,
like,
slander. Dak's
Dak's making too much money. Like,
I'm going to want a big contract too. Yeah, we're going to want them to pay you, but just say less on the whole thing. Like,
right.
You don't have to do that, bro.
So, okay. My concern, and I'll get into the Twitter replies in a moment here. And I think Micah is the best defensive player in the NFL. I'm totally with you. I also love the color rush jersey. That's a great look, by the way. I loved the look in Tennessee. It was great with the white helmets, white face masks. It was awesome. But they defied history a year ago. They were the one team to not regress from a turnover standpoint. They had all the sacks. Respect. You were the one out of 100 team 2022 Cowboys. But regression is likely going to come for you in 2023. There's 100 years of history to support this. You are likely going to generate fewer takeaways. You are probably going to generate fewer sacks. I mean, like, I remember, and I mentioned this on a recent show, Bill Simmons mentioned Jason Tatum's rookie year. And I'm not, like, coming for Bill Simmons, but he said, like, this is the worst he's ever going to be. And I remember hearing that and being like, how do you know that? Like just because he's a rookie doesn't mean, like, he's going to get better every single year. Like, this might be the best he ever is, right? Like, and the example I used was Zeke. Like, Zeke has never been better than he was as a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's very possible that, like, these are the two best seasons Micah Parsons ever placed, that 2021 was the best season Trayvon Diggs ever placed, right? So, like, my concern is that there will be some regression on the defensive side of the ball, but that everyone's going to assume things will stay status quo there. All we got to do is fix the offense, blah, blah, blah. And then this team winds up losing games 51-49 because their defense has all of a sudden been, you know, the subject of regression.
You just made me think of something with Trayvon Diggs, man. He could have made a couple plays in that Niners game. Can't let him off the hook. I love that J-Ron curse. We saw that, you know, like the mic'd up where he was like, that ball hits you in the hands. It's not supposed to hit you in the hands. Like, you're supposed to pick that. But my concern with this team, I guess my major concern with this team is, again, surrounding Dak with talent. And that's not just on the field. That is with Mike McCarthy calling the plays or whoever they choose as the offensive coordinator. The focus has to be, hey, we have one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. He can't feel like it's on his shoulders every single play. He can't feel like it's just him and CeeDee Lamb out there and he's got to force the ball to CeeDee Lamb. He's got to feel like when he looks at the defense and he looks at his guys, he's got four options from receivers to tight end, running back, that he can get the ball to. The Cowboys officially have a running back problem. You're overpaying a Wash Zeke, who is not the player he once was. His dad came out and said, he ain't taking less money. Well, he should. If he wants to be a part of this team that's going to probably win another double-digit games and go to the playoffs next year, he should take less money. They shouldn't draft a running back one. What we've seen is that you can draft a running back in the last round that could potentially be effective, wait a little while, and bring another running back into the fold or see what you know can get with Malik Davis. The most important thing is finding the right offensive coordinator. I don't know if that's internally or if that's bringing in like Byron Leftwich to work with Dak and Mike McCarthy. And the line I feel actually pretty good about. The offensive line I actually feel fine about. But they need another explosive wide receiver.
They need a reliable swing tackle. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but like that bit them so hard. And granted, they landed on their feet. But like that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like you cannot just like go get your version of Trey Mancini was my point. Like again, you know, they banked last year on Tyron staying healthy, and that literally fell apart before the season even started. And again, kudos to you guys. Tyler Smith saved you, whatever, blah, blah. But you cannot just say like, oh, Josh Ball and Matt Waletzko are our swing tackle options. Like that didn't work last year.
Coming back helps. And
but like he could, like, you know what I'm saying? Like anybody could get hurt at any, like the Yuli thing. That's what I think.
Gotta have insurance. Like it's football. Like, they're gonna get hurt.
And that's what I'm saying. Like as an Astros fan, I would have never ever thought, like, you know, like heading into the World Series, and that's why like I keep coming back to this. I like my concern would have been like, well, what happens if Altuve gets hurt or Jeremy gets hurt? Like, you know what I mean? Like I would have or Yordan, like, right? Like I would have gone through all the big things, but like, what happens if Yuli gets hurt? Like all of a sudden you're down your first baseman. Like that is a ripple effect that impacts every single thing. And so it's like, what happens if Terrence Steele isn't ready week one? They told us Michael Gallup would be last year. That didn't happen. You know, what happens if Tyler Smith gets hurt? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens if it's football? Like freak injuries happen. You cannot ever assume you're safe anywhere. And it worked out for them last year with their depth guys. Like I said, Tyler Smith playing left tackle, Cooper Rush, even at kicker. They went to camp with Jonathan Garibay and Lareem Hairuelohu as their two options. That failed miserably. They got so lucky that they brought Brett Maher back and that he was amazing. And everybody obviously rightfully felt badly for him near the end of things. But like that, you're not guaranteed to hit the lotto every single time you buy a scratch off.
Right. Most likely not. You got to have reinforcements. You got to hedge your bets and you got to have insurance on every position. There's got to be multiple guys. So they got to stack the deck. Can they stack the deck financially? Can they stack the deck by hitting in the draft? I think they can. I've seen them draft well, like spend a little money for some of the spots that you feel like you need a guy. Honestly, I want them to draft a corner. First round. I wanted a corner of the year. We got Micah. We kind of lucked into that. The top two corners came off the board. There's the best defensive player in the draft waiting for us. But you can't fall into it anymore. You can't be so lucky anymore. You got to kind of, you know, aim at your target and go get it.
Even the Micah thing, and I've said this many times, I don't want to like relitigate it, but like that pick did not make sense. Like they drafted an off-ball linebacker with the 12th overall pick. Like, again, he became this monster. Like, and if you had known that, obviously it makes sense, but like you cannot spend that resource on an off-ball linebacker, which is what they did in a technical, literal sense. Again, they pivoted and deserve credit for that.
They lucked into it. And remember the Giants and the Eagles right before that with the whole Devontae Smith.
Right. and the pick that became Justin Fields that my dog is obviously pumped about. We did a really interesting what if episode a year ago, wondering like whether it was worth Washington winning the division in 2020. Cause if not, they would have been sitting where New York was and they could have taken Fields and they'd have, you know, whatever. But okay. So I'm going to try to like encapsulate all of the responses into some rapid fire concerns. A lot of people are concerned about the running back situation. So Keith, again, this is like a blitz portion of things. Would you move on from Zeke, restructure, or just keep things as is if you have to pick one path?
I just think Zeke has got a friendship with Dak and probably a lot of guys. Like we don't think about off the field what that type of stuff does.
Sure.
Zeke could potentially, you know, have another good offseason or something and be all right. I think you restructure. I don't think you move on from him. I think you restructure and you keep him around.
So you're willing to keep him around if the price is right, so to speak.
If the price is right, he's obviously overpaid and Jerry Jones got finessed in that whole Cabo situation. but if he doesn't want to, you know, take less, then he's got to go. He's got to go.
I agree with that. Okay, so Tony Pollard, do you bring him back? This has shades of Michael Gallup. I mentioned we're recording this Wednesday. Tuesday night, the Dallas Morning News reported that he had a procedure on his right knee just to kind of clean things up. It's worth mentioning it was his left knee that had the ACL a year ago, so now he's had injuries to both over the last, whatever it is, like 14 months.
He may never be the same player, but he's our guy. We drafted him, and he became with us. Depending on what the market is for TP, you bring TP back as well.
So you would bring Tony Pollard back. You're not worried with the way Gallup, you know, that
I'm worried. I'm worried. And it depends what, like I said, what he commands on the free market, on the open market. If someone's going to pay him ridiculous money for damaged goods, then sorry. See you later, Tony. But he's our guy. You bring him back and you hope that he works out and trains well with us and can return to form.
Would you bring back Leighton Van Der Esch?
I'm ready to move on from Leighton Van Der Esch.
He'll get paid too. Like, I think
I know. I know he's going to get paid, and I know he was a first round pick, but I just think there's so much young talent out there, especially like in this upcoming draft at linebacker. You can find another guy that can fly around. Leighton did what he could for us, and he's had some good times, but he's also been injured a lot. I would move on from Leighton Van Der Esch.
Yeah, I think people are pumped and kind of ready to see Damone Clark. Granted, a year ago at this time, we were excited to see Jabril Cox, and that didn't exactly work out. A lot of the concerns are about Dak. Corner is an interesting position. Would you bring Anthony Brown back or let him walk?
I would move on from Anthony Brown. I'm just over it. And I just don't think he gives it. Like, look at our division, who they have to face. Like, the Eagles are stacked at wide receiver. Now the Commanders are, and the Giants, that was their biggest hole. They're going to fill that hole. Like, they're going to be better. All of these offenses are going to be good. Like, you need a shutdown corner. We don't have one. And Diggs, I don't consider a shutdown corner.
I mean, the Kelvin Joseph miss is really costly right now because there's a lot of top needs. And I would argue if you do move on from Anthony Brown, and I'm not opposed to that, that's your top need. Like, you need a starting outside corner.
Joey Porter Jr. If he's like, there.
Deron Bland is great, but like, this is what we do. We end up like, okay, he had an awesome rookie season, and then we put like the weight of the world on him, and then he doesn't live up to those.
Into that, and he's a rookie. And then when you're in a game, these offensive coordinators are looking like, okay, barbecue chicken. There's a rookie. They're circling him. They're going at him. This rookie is going to get cooked in this game.
A lot of people are concerned with the fact that Mike McCarthy is going to call plays. I've said that I think this is a good idea. Not necessarily because I think that it's going to go well. Obviously, that's my hope. But you have to, and people have heard me say this, like, you have to learn. You have to know. If you go the entire McCarthy era without ever seeing him call plays, that's a failure. Like, the dude made his way in the NFL on the offensive side of the ball. You have to see what he's got there. And if you don't, then why did you bring him in the first place? So at the very least, it's a good thing because we're going to know a year from now whether or not Mike McCarthy's worth keeping around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of us that don't even trust the guy to call timeouts, let alone call plays. But I'm with you on the fact that, like, this is what this guy has done in the past. You got to see. He took on Kellen Moore. That wasn't his pick. You know, right. He was here before McCarthy got in. Now it's time. Something had to give. Something had to change. Kellen Moore, we'll see what he does with, you know, Jay Herbo and the Chargers. I don't really expect them to be much greater with him. It's time to see what McCarthy can do. And maybe that locks him into the game more where he does have better clock management and is better at calling timeouts because he's calling plays. I think it's on him and Dak. They got to really spend some time this offseason together and figure out how they're going to move forward.
A lot of people's concern is, like, these are the anti-running back in the first round people. And obviously, like, we're all super sensitive to that because of the Zeke thing. So a lot of people are like, I would be really panicked if they drafted Bijan Robinson in the first round. I'm not, like... I think we've gone a little bit far with the, like, hating the running backs taken in the first round because, again, we have a lot of emotional scars from this. There's a big difference between the 4th overall pick and the 26th overall pick. But that being said, if the Cowboys walked away from Zeke, didn't re-sign Pollard, but they took Robinson with their first round pick, would that send, like, what side of the fork is that sending you down? Like, oh, I'm hyped, I'm gassed, like, you know, Super Bowl, or same old, this team literally learned nothing over the last 7 years.
Yeah, it'd be more same old, same old. Breece Hall was drafted in the second round for the Jets, and before he got hurt, he was breaking games open. You can find talent, and the NFL has shifted. There's no reason to take a Leonard Fournette in the first round. Like, there's no reason to take an Ezekiel Elliott in a top pick like that in this league. It's a passing league. Everything has shifted to the air game. You can find a guy like, I know James Robinson is kind of, you know, falling off a cliff, but his rookie year, he was a beast. You can find a guy that can run the ball, and you don't have to take the top guy off the board. And the Cowboys, that's not their, they have a running back problem right now, but that's not their number one need there. We'll see who falls to them at 26, but there's going to be a more impact player than a running back, especially when you're in an offense where you're throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb. It's on Dak. the running back is not going to be necessarily the biggest factor. I don't want them taking Robinson in the first round.
I agree with you. The fact that James Robinson has already fallen off of a cliff is, again, like more proof at how short the shelf life is for the running back position. And I don't know how I feel whether or not Malik Davis should have gotten more touches. I mean, it's such an important game, but
you think they didn't trust him? Like he had three plays after Tony went down, and it's like, you know, Zeke is slow. You know, he's not breaking anything open. At least this Malik Davis kid could give us a spark.
I think it's possible. Dak took a sack that where he just got like attacked right away that it felt like was an intended handoff to Malik. But I mean, even if that had been a handoff, I mean, you're talking who would have gotten one touch. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like it would have been a big difference. But I think it's possible, and I think it's fair to not trust an undrafted rookie, right? Like in a playoff game where you're trying to do something you haven't done in 27 years. But I think even if you think there was 1% merit towards giving Malik Davis touches over Zeke in the playoff loss, the fact that that is a non-zero quantity, it's proof that like we're talking about an undrafted free agent rookie having even 1%, but you know, a non-zero quantity level of merit against one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL. It's more proof that like you have to live somewhere in the middle on all of this. That's what I'm saying. You can't go all the way and say like, oh, and I know you're not, but like every year, let's just get undrafted free agent running backs. Let's just take dudes in on day three. Like there is a happy medium, but like you cannot live on the extreme that you've been. That's why like this Bijan Robinson thing, I get that it's like low hanging fruit and people eat it up. And I went to Texas A&M, so it's unfortunate, but like there's a lot of Longhorns who root for, you know, for the Cowboys. So you've got that like middle of the Venn diagram, but like this just doesn't hold up. This doesn't make any logical sense.
Saquon Barkley, that's another one. These Giants fans, they quit on him going into this year, and now they don't know whether they want to pay him or not.
One of the concerns is how they're going to address wide receiver. Do you think that they should? Not whether they will, but do you think they should add, I mean, you mentioned Odell, but like that level of a receiver, like a legitimate starting opposite of CeeDee Lamb quality wide receiver, you'd probably have to pay for that, obviously. Like, do you want to see them, for lack of a better way to put it, make one of the trades for this year's version of like the AJ Brown trade? It's so frustrating how wonderful that worked out for the Eagles. But like, you don't have to pull off the Devontae Adams trade or the Tyreek Hill trade. Even the Hollywood Brown trade last year would have helped your team significantly. A lot of people throwing out DeAndre Hopkins, but like, do you think that we're at the point with a lack of trust in Michael Gallup where that's necessary?
I just think like Michael Gallup, I don't want to knock Michael Gallup, but he's not like, you know, I mean, Dak missed him a couple times, but he's not that kind of guy. You put an Odell Beckham Jr. across from CeeDee Lamb. They're both weapons. They're both threats. They can do it all. If you trade for someone, yeah, but like you don't have to give up anything but money to get an Odell. I think Odell is more of a shiny option now than he was during the season, right? He couldn't play. They have to address that.
I'm just looking at kind of the surface level free agent wide receiver. So I'm going to play a little game, Michael Gallup or this person. Money's not a factor here. So if you just have to play a game and you have to pair one of these wide receivers with CeeDee Lamb, who do you prefer, Michael Gallup or Michael Thomas?
Oof. Michael Thomas can't guard Mike if he's healthy. If he's healthy, but that's a big if. Like
Michael Gallup or Nelson Aguilar?
Gallup.
DJ Chark.
Gallup.
Julio Jones.
Gallup again.
Jacoby Myers.
Gallup again. I don't want to kill Mike. Mike is a good receiver. He's just not Juju. Like he's like a third. And Juju is another guy that's like, I don't know, good for him getting in the Super Bowl, but like they're not moving the needle for me.
Yeah, I'm like two lines away from Randall Cobb. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not an impressive free agency class at wide receiver. I mean, T.Y. Hilton is like one of the better options to kind of serve the point. But again, he was already kind of the second best.
He wants to come back. Odell Beckham Jr. I think can be a game breaker and try and draft a wide receiver.
I'm a little different. But I love T.Y., but I don't need him back. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know. I think it would be foolish to like have your entire season built upon like if T.Y. is one of the bottom pieces of your Jenga tower. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. T.Y. could be one
T.Y.
of the
T.Y. now. 33?
He's over 30. I mean, he was drafted in 2012. So he
33.
If he's like again at the top of my Jenga tower and I'm talking like final pieces left on the table, totally fine with T.Y. being one of them. And again, it worked out. But, like, can he be one of the, like, foundational pieces of your Jenga tower? No. You know what I mean? And that's not a slight on T.Y.
What it is, bro, is we saw him make an impact late, and it's like maybe there's more from there. Yeah, there could be more from any other receiver that could make an impact. There wasn't that many impact receivers for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going to say this, and I haven't said this yet, so I'm still kind of, like, you know, cooking the take. Did he really make an impact, T.Y.? I mean, he had the 3rd and 30. Like, that's a forever moment. Like, what, like, you know, put it on some T-shirts and whatever. Like, it'll be people's Twitter headers forever. 3rd and 30, awesome. He had some nice catches in the Titans game. Other than that, what did he do?
Yeah, it seemed like an impact because it was like him and Noah Brown and him and Michael Gallup. And Michael Gallup, like, is Michael Gallup to me is a red zone threat. And I mean, when he's open, Dak missed him, and Dak has forced some passes to him. They got to figure out the receiver room.
That's what I'm saying. I think
CD is exactly what we want and what we need, but he needs a Robin to his Batman.
Exactly. Like, for me, CD is filet mignon, right? Like, best meal you can possibly have. But other than that, I mean, everything else is like, you know, ramen, right? Like, you're just kind of like, whatever, getting by. T.Y. comes in, he's like an order of Chick-fil-A. And all right, dude, respect. But, like, this still isn't, like, you know, like, we've convinced ourselves because it's so much better than ramen that it's like this. And I love Chick-fil-A. But,
we,
like,
can do,
you know,
better. We can be eating a lot better.
Exactly. We can get some Whataburger. I don't know if you've had any, like, any point. But, like, if you
one time, and I need to get back to Dallas. The one time I went to Dallas, I forget where I stayed, and I wasn't far from a Whataburger, and I just didn't end up going over there because I was just so, like, entrenched with all the Cowboys stuff.
Oh, dude.
But I got to try Whataburger next time.
Okay, Keith, closing thoughts. We'll have you on again at some point later in the offseason and kind of check in. So, like, when we have a conversation again, what do you hope is different? What do you hope has changed? What do you want to have seen the Cowboys do or do not do? I mean, like, give us a little bit of a checklist for us to revisit.
Maybe hire an offensive coordinator.
That will happen. I'm certain that they will hire someone to the job, at least.
Definitely hire an offensive coordinator first. Make some decisions on the roster, even if they're tough decisions of, you know, who to move on from, who to restructure. And if I'm on, I mean, maybe I'm on before or after the draft, but address some issues in the draft, right? Have a solid draft. Have another draft that we're like, okay, we feel like some of these guys can come in and make an impact. Every team finds at least one or two guys that can come in and play. And I feel like in this NFL, you know, these kids are coming in more ready than ever to play. You know, they go to camps and they're like, they're training and they know film and they know, like, find the guys, plug in these young guys that can come in and make an impact right away.
I like that. My answer is much more vague. I'm going to say, you know, the meme of the dude playing video games, like when he takes it seriously, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the guy that sits up or whatever, like, be that guy. That's lock what I want to see. Yeah. You know, lock like that's, in. I want to see something that shows me you're that guy. Be James Click in 2022 with the Houston Astros. That's where I'm at. Like, show us some, and not actually be more than James Click, be Howie Roseman with the Eagles. I hate to say that, but, like, they own you. Like, they own this. Like, and I think that's where we've gotten so, like, Dak 7-3 against the Eagles. But, like, oh, Dak owns the Eagles. That's true. But they own everything else, right? like you have this one cool thing.
What do we care about the regular season, bro? Right. That's what I said. It's a party for us watching the Cowboys September, October, November. Then as soon as we get closer to December, and then as soon as we get to January, it's doomsday. Like you said, we want to feel like they're going the extra – not mile. It's not even a mile. You have to go the extra 3 feet.
It's a, right? It's a click to go back to James Click. The unit of measurement click.
Just add the insurance, add the reinforcements, go the little extra step that shows us you're serious about winning a championship. Cause this has been unserious for the last 27 years.
Keith McPherson, everybody follow him on Twitter. You do the underscore. I'm not a fan of it myself, but Keith _McPherson.
Somebody has my name all as one. So
I know, but you could have gone like Keith McPherson, like, and then a number. Like, I like the number better than the underscores. Like, the underscore is so complicated to get to on the keyboard, and you have to hit like shift and like the symbols and stuff.
My apologies. Somebody had my name all as one. And I don't know. I just do the underscore in the middle. It's like a space so people can read first name, last name. I would have probably picked like 8 or 11. I was a Troy Aikman guy growing up. Let's see. I don't know if you can see this. I got to move down there.
You got quite the setup here. That is
right here.
White. So yes.
Let me see if I can take it off. I drew this in fourth grade. and this got on NFL Films for Man of the Year.
Holy crap, that is so cool.
Fourth grade. I'm always backwards on the camera. And I drew this to Troy Aikman in the fourth grade, and they featured it on NFL Films.
You drew the NFL Films logo, like,
not very well at like 9-10 years old, but
still, where is it? One second. I have this little, I don't think it's a bobblehead, but these used to be a thing in the 90s. It's like a little figurine, and this looks like the Troy you drew. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like almost the exact same silhouette that you drew. Granted, you have the helmet involved. Holy crap! Oh my God!
Can't make this stuff up, bro. Can't make this stuff up.
Keith, I don't know.
Got the same exact one.
I don't know what just happened here, but it was very special.
Universe never unconnects. That's what I always say. We were podcast meant to connect one day.
Really missed. If you are listening to the podcast, go check out the YouTube channel and head to the 5 minute mark. Because Keith and I just this was like when lightsabers are like, you know, battling, and like this, like the force just like lived and broke between us. That was really cool. Yeah. Keith, really just a huge fan of what you're doing. Thanks for stopping by. We'll definitely circle back and get you on a couple more times throughout the off season to kind of check things out and maybe go through like more Cowboys artifacts, because obviously you have a ton of them. Final thoughts. You can give us life advice, something to watch on Netflix, whatever you want, then we'll get out of here.
I don't watch Netflix. I only watch live sports. We joke around on the radio. Like, I just don't. The only thing that keeps my interest is like a live football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Like, I need to see live action to be compelled. What I'll say is this for the Cowboys fans that are feeling down. It's tough. You get trolled. Trust me, I go through it. I'm a New York City radio host. And I didn't hide my fandom being on air. And I have said that, you know what, this was the first time I actually thought about, and I'm not going to change, but this is the first time I actually thought about not being a Cowboys fan, right? Or at least turning down my fandom, because what does it do for my career being in New York as a Cowboys fan? Like, maybe I should lean into the Jets. I don't ever see myself leaning into the Giants because I've hated them forever, but I respected what they did this year. What I'll say is keep the faith. You know, it's not forever. I feel like Jerry Jones is cursed, but maybe you can break that curse, right? The Cubs went 108 years thinking they were cursed. The Red Sox thought that they were cursed, and then the curse was broken. So the phrase I tell fans is stay down till you come up. We're going to come up. We've been up. We just haven't broken through to get back to an NFC championship or Super Bowl, but we have the talent. We have arguably the best defensive player in the league. And I think if these guys do what RJ said is, you know, lean in and play the game for real, lock in and take it serious, take that next step, we're closer than we are further away. Like, we're closer to a Super Bowl, and we've been in this last 2 years than you know, years before. Remember those 8-8, 500 years? Like, we're far from there. The Cowboys can get back to the Super Bowl sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, but to your point, they were a playoff team in back-to-back years. 12 wins, like, they broke all sorts of, like, weird, stupid streak things. I mean, like, they're now turning into, like, a team that is there every year. And if you're one of those teams, odds are that eventually fate will smile upon you. So you're right, it is a bit of a process, and it requires some patience. But, you know, if it can happen to the Cubs, I always think about the MLB The Show commercial where the, like, old man cut his beard off when the Cubs won the World Series on The Show. Yeah. It was like a really, you know, such a great commercial. But we can be that old man, I guess, is the right way to end this.
And it's not even that long. It's not even that long, man. All of us are fans. Well, not all of us, but a lot of us are fans from the glory days. We will return to glory. This is going to motivate Dak Prescott, and this is going to be a part of the story. When the Cowboys get back to a Super Bowl and win it, it's just going to spawn another 30 years of diehard Dallas Cowboys fans. How about them?
If losing didn't hurt so bad, then winning wouldn't feel so good. Keith, thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon. Have a good one, man. Want to give a big time shout out, big time thank you to Keith McPherson for taking the time to join us here on the Ocho on the Blog and the Boys podcast network. We have so much going on here on the network. We're still working on things, tweaking things, figuring out how we can be better. Please make sure you do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a rating, write a review. We also have a lot of things happening all the time on the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel. So please make sure you subscribe over there. Some of our things are accessible in both places, like this show. You can, of course, listen to it here or watch it over there. Going to be doing doing a lot of interviews with people here on the Ocho throughout the offseason, so we definitely want to make sure you can watch them. By the way, a little birdie told me that we have at least two special interviews next week as a part of, I wouldn't say like Radio Row coverage, but as a part of the glitz and glamour that Super Bowl Radio Row Week can be. So be on the lookout for two potential Hall of Famers to join us. I don't want to offer anything as a promise. You know how it is. Sometimes things are canceled or postponed last minute, but if everything goes according to plan, we should have two people here on the podcast next week as guests, different episodes that will both wind up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. There's a little bit of a tease for you. I mentioned to please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and Rick's. If you can, leave a rating and write a review. Like I said, those things are very helpful. And we do want to always read the reviews that we get. So we have a new one, and it is very kind to me. So I do want to thank TYRN21 for the 5-star rating, and it is titled Thanks, RJ. I love all the podcasts that RJ and his staff have put together for Cowboys Nation to enjoy. Although very disappointing in another playoff exit, I woke up January 23rd to listen to RJ as I knew he would provide the right perspective for me. I am a diehard fan like so many of us, and that will never change. However, RJ, over the past 3 years of listening to him, has changed my feelings and perspective surrounding the team and has reminded me to not take it so serious and to not be a pessimistic fan like so many of our fans are. Life goes on, and family is number one at the end of the day. Thanks again, RJ. I'm already excited to see Dak and the Cowboys attempt to reload and get back another chance in 2023 and 2024. That was a much better job of understanding the date and the proper year that we're in than I showed at the beginning of all this. And I do want to say this as we kind of close. If you have followed me for a few years, and this is something I've been thinking about a little bit as of late, I know that I have been a little bit negative, right? I was, I talked about this as the season kind of, ended. Obviously, we didn't know it was going to end, but this season, and that's my son again, this season really changed me, and maybe being a father is part of that, but I no longer feel the negative things. Like, there are things the Cowboys do that bother me. Don't be misguided, don't get that wrong, but I'm willing to give them a chance. I think that sometimes when a Cowboys season ends, there are a lot of people who kind of line up the pitchforks and get ready to say, well, they're stupid for this and they're stupid for that, and I've been that person to some degree. But there are a lot of things that they are doing and that they have done that they deserve credit for and they deserve some props for. And so I'm excited. I do think that they have earned some trust. I know everything, obviously, that Keith and I talked about was kind of a lack of trust. And I will admit, like, the jury is out on a lot of things. But there's a difference between the jury being out and the jury being decided of a verdict of guilty. And that's where I've been in the past. So I'm kind of excited to give the Cowboys my heart this offseason. Now, maybe they crush it and that leads to, a negative experience. But who knows? There's a crying baby in the background, so I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Maybe you can't hear him. Maybe I made a big old show about that and you couldn't even hear him. Who knows? I hope you have the best day ever. I hope you have the greatest Thursday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.